Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. Today is Thursday, October 18th, and this is show number 91. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so I want to start off by talking about yesterday, which if you've been following along in the progression of the shows that I've been going through and talking about this weather app I've been working on for about a month or a little something like that, you'll know that yesterday I launched Check the Weather, and it did more than I could ever have dreamed. I mean, I'm still kind of, you know, sort of dumbstruck by exactly what happened yesterday. It doesn't feel real, it doesn't really feel possible, but it is what it is, and I'll just take that blessing and enjoy it. So yeah, I mean, yesterday it went really well, and I just wanted to start off the show by thanking all of you. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people who said they really liked the sort of the process I've been going through on the show, talking about Check the Weather as it's sort of from its first, the first initial episode where I talked about how I just had this idea that I couldn't get out of my head, and I just had to build it, to how I did some of the localizations, how I did the marketing, how I did some design and performance and prototyping, really the whole thing. And you know, the end result is what's in the store right now, and it's doing better than I ever thought it could. So thank you. It's just kind of humbling to see the response that has come out of all this work, and it's just awesome. So thank you. There's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, and they relate to the launch yesterday. I don't want to get too much into that. I wanted to kind of, rather than being too topical, I always try and sort of take a step back in the show and think of how these things can apply generally, not just to my specific circumstances or the current news or those types of things. There are really two themes that I wanted to talk about, and the first one is fairly simple, and the second one will be the main topic of the show. The first thing I wanted to talk about is responsiveness, and I mean that not in the sense of performance in the app or those kinds of things, which are very important, but I mean responsiveness in terms of customer support. Customer support is one of those things that I think a lot of developers just view as a chore, as something that they really wish they didn't have to do, as that, you know, it's kind of this afterthought. It's just something that you have to deal with or put up with. But the reality is customer support is an opportunity to interact with your customers. And if you have any respect for your customers, you'll view customer support in a fairly positive light, in that these are the people who are reaching out to you, asking you questions, telling you about bugs, asking for features, and you know, you want to be as polite, competent, and responsive to them as possible. If you're trying to create a 360 degree experience for your users, one of the things that's a part of that is just being very responsive and being very sort of likable and taking responsibility when things go badly and being, you know, sort of accepting of different opinions and so on. And so what I've been trying to do, and I've gotten actually a lot of positive comments on this, sort of, which is a little bit meta, but is I try very hard to have as short an amount of time between when you email me and when I give you a response. This has certain limits, obviously, because I don't want it to become an all-consuming thing, but especially at launch, when I'm trying to feel out the app, I'm trying to feel out the market, I'm trying to feel out what people really want, I try and keep that down to as short an amount of time as possible. And often, if you've emailed me in the last 24 hours, there's a good chance I got to you, probably about half of you, I got to within about 2 or 3 minutes of when you emailed me. And the other half, it's kind of like a fall off from there, where obviously when I was sleeping and those types of things, it extends out. But my goal is to really be responsive on that. And I've heard from a lot of people where they were having some problem. Something's not right. They're upset about something in the app, and they're kind of venting that out in an email to me. It's not personal, but you know, they're having they bought this app. They invested some money into it, and it's not working great. And my responsibility is to turn that around. And a lot of people, sometimes I have to say, you know, that's a bug. You know, there's a bug right now in the app. It's like, I'm not sure if I want to say it. Well, whatever. You're all nice people. If you go into the app right now and you search for a zip code that begins with 0, the app will crash. Simple as that. I'm working on the fix. It'll be out as soon as I can, but there's no two ways about it. I missed that. If you put in a zip code, it starts with 0, the app crashes. And I had a couple people email me that. That's really frustrating if you happen to live in one of the places that has a zip code that begins with 0. But a lot of these people, they come at me like, hey, the app's broken. And I'm like, sometimes it's like, you know, within 30 seconds, within a minute or 2 minutes, I'm on there and saying, I'm so sorry. I know that's frustrating. I'm looking at the fix. I'll have it out as soon as I can. And people are generally very responsive to that. People, you know, you kind of can turn these people around and make them your allies rather than sort of adversaries. I mean, I had a great example. There was a gentleman who emailed me with a similar situation to that. And, you know, he kind of had this, like, I like the app. It's overall very aesthetically pleasing. It has these few functional problems. And while I don't believe in giving bonus points for looks, because if I did, your app would win that, win a few of those. But, you know, I give stars for functionality. So 1 star. That's what he said. You know, 5 minutes later, I email him back, you know, and answer his problem, trying to give him a workaround. He emails me back, you know, whatever, half an hour later and says, you know, I don't give bonus points for looks, but I do give bonus points for attentive care and customer support. I'm going back and changing my review. And that's just validating. I mean, that's a customer who was starting in a place of frustration and ended in a place of loyalty. And that's my goal. And that's something that we should all just be sort of be striving towards. And yes, I'll be moving my help desk out of my own inbox too. I have someone who does operations for me, who typically does a lot of help desk, at least the first round of help desk. But that goal, that for level of care and attention, is something that will sort of carry through that. And so, just wanted to mention that. All right, the next thing I wanted to talk about is how to deal with customer feedback. And I'm going to be talking about this in this instance through the lens of the UI choices I made in Check the Weather. So Check the Weather, if you haven't seen it, at least go look at the screenshots in the app. It'll probably be helpful for kind of this discussion. But Check the Weather is a very opinionated app in terms of the way it looks. And it's designed around what I think looks good. And if I'm honest, when I built the app, I didn't really expect it to get a lot of traction. And so it's designed how I would like it, and people around me seem to like it, and that was that. As it's gotten to a broader audience, and a broader audience than I ever thought would be possible, the strength of those choices and the sort of opinionatedness of it means that for some people, it turns them off. For some people, they don't really like it. For some people, Idlewild, which is the main font I use, is just too sharp. It's a bit, you know, it's a bit too much. And that's, you know, that is good to know. And now it creates kind of a funny thing, because you hear from a lot of developers that it's kind of this aversion to settings, an aversion to preferences. And I think there's a place for that, that you don't want to get too carried away. You want to make a lot of decisions for your user. But I always try and not think that I'm smarter than my user. That as soon as I start thinking to myself, you know, I know what's best. I'm going to pick the best font, and I'm going to just, you know, sort of ram it down their throats. Like, as soon as I start doing that, I've kind of lost track and I've lost touch with really what I'm doing here. I'm trying to make an app to solve a problem. And the problem it's solving is the problem the user is facing. It's not the, you know, that customer of mine is going to be looking at the app way more than I am in aggregate. You know, all of my customers will, in theory, be spending, you know, hours and hours a day looking at an app that I create. And I want that to be as positive of an experience for all of them as possible. And this really got me thinking about, there was a great talk, I'll link in the show notes, to a talk that Malcolm Gladwell gave at TED. And basically what he was talking about is this really interesting sort of product design story of, he did it twice, once with Pepsi and once with pasta sauce and the... In the talk, but I'm just going to talk about the Pepsi one. And basically, he was talking about the story of this guy who was tasked by Pepsi when aspartame was invented, who they were going to make Diet Pepsi. They wanted to work out how much aspartame to put in it, you know, what concentration of sweetness is the best Pepsi. And that was this guy's sort of tasking. And he said, you know, go and do this. And like any good scientist would, he laid out, he created different samples at various concentrations. You know, say for argument's sake, it's like from 8 to 12%. You know, one in 1% increments. And he did a massive taste test with a statistically valid sample set and put it out and looked at the data. And he was kind of expecting, you know, maybe we'll have a bell curve around some point and that will be the point that we'll pick. But what he's found, which was surprising to him and surprising in the field at the time, was that rather than having a single peak, there were multiple peaks. There was almost a flat line in some cases, and there wasn't really a clear choice. There wasn't a a best Pepsi. And the sort of the insight that he drew from that, that later came on to kind of revolutionize product design, especially in the food industry, was the realization that there is no best Pepsi. There's best Pepsis. And every customer is after something different. Every customer is looking, has a different taste, has a different style, has a different want. And a product designer who sort of is so, it becomes too conceited with themselves and their ability to have good taste, that gets to a point where they start ignoring what other customers may like, becomes non-responsive, becomes sort of in some ways antagonistic to some of their users. And I think that's a very dangerous road to go down. Like, there's a road to be opinionated on, but the things that you want to be opinionated about are areas where you are making choices that you think really will make the user experience better. And so maybe this gets into, like, if we check the weather, it's the degree to which I have clutter in the application. You know, I get a lot of requests. It's like, I want to see this data, this data, this data, this data. If I took all the pieces of data that people want and put them all on the screen at the same time, it'd be completely unreadable. So I'm not responding to those people in aggregate in that way. But what I'm going to be doing, and what I think addresses this in a way that is kind of works well there, is I'm going to be adding themes to check the weather. And I'll have a variety of them. I'll have the current one that I have that I like, that I think is kind of, you know, very strong, kind of this like past future look to it that I love. But it's not for everybody. And so rather than being sort of stuck on that point, I'm instead just going to go and I'm going to add some themes. I'm going to add a vanilla theme, probably just a, you know, whatever Helvetica theme that's looks totally native on the device, that nothing special, just very very sort of bland. I'll add a couple of others that are a bit more styled. I'll add a few different colors rather than just black and white. Maybe it'll be a dark theme, it'll be a light theme, and just kind of mix it up, because ultimately what I want is to end up with every customer being able to look at the app and say, you know, that fits me, that suits me. It kind of reminds me of when you go and buy, which is something I've never done, but I've heard about people who do it, who go and buy a nice high-end car. So you go and buy a BMW, or you buy a Mercedes, or you buy an Audi, or whatever it is. You're buying a lot of the choices that their designers have made. And some of those choices are things you can't change. But typically, the things that you can change are the things that are non-functional, the things that are aesthetic. Because everyone's aesthetic, I think, varies more than their functional choices they would make. And so my goal is that I'll end up with, you know, with a few themes that rather than addressing just one segment of the population, you know, like the 8% group, I'm going to also be addressing the 12% group and the 11% group, and kind of addressing and making the app feel at home to everybody, rather than kind of having myself impose that onto them. And I think that'll go over well from the people I've talked about so far and the feedback I've gotten. You know, I think I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, sort of that kind of minor change will have a big impact on their enjoyment of the app. And as a developer, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm not one of these people who's going to get too stuck on the fact that I have a settings section. I already do. You know, I have to have one for, you know, Celsius and Fahrenheit and 24-hour time. And so adding a little section in there, you have a, you know, a few options that you can choose from, isn't a big deal from a functional side. It's not a lot of work. I mean, themes in general are pretty easy to do because it's mostly just colors and fonts. You know, there's a few structural and sizing and alignment things you have to tweak to make sure it looks good. But overall, there's not a lot that I have to do to make that happen. And I'm just being respectful enough of my user to say, you know what? I don't know all the right answers, but my goal is to make your experience as good as possible. And so that's what I'm going to do. All right, that's it for today's show. Again, I just wanted to thank everybody for their support. It's been awesome. And as always, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, I'm on Twitter at _DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at justDavidSmith. And otherwise, I hope you have a great weekend. Happy coding, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.